lost your shit. Scream out loud. We all love Pinterest.
I'd like to take this time just to tell you to eat my ass.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another edition of the Cruel Summer Slashback. I am the Creepy Kentuckian. What's going on, Bill?
Welcome to the Saturday edition, because you all bunch of candy asses would do it because you're doing that shit tomorrow for wrestling.
Well, we got night one of SummerSlam under the belt, though. I've already watched it, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow. Did you watch any of it?
No. I just heard about it. I heard about the main event.
And that, about a thing or two, but we're talking the summer cruel summer slashback tonight. The logo might look a little bit familiar, but SummerSlam is tomorrow night, and we'll be doing a rundown of both nights, because they're bringing all these big pay-per-views to two nights now for some reason. I don't know why. Or it seems like they're doing it, but shot on video.
I love some of these comments that are already here about these movies. That's so killer. So I'm going to be honest with you. You know this already. Shot on SOV movies are not even near my favorite kind of horror movie to watch. Even when they're done really, really well, let's take Cannibal Camp Out or something like that. That's actually seems to have some sort of a,
somebody video with violence isn't too
bad. Video. Somebody with some talent that's actually doing them a little bit. I still don't like them that much. But when you've got just somebody like me or you that just gets about $6,000 together and then goes out and gets a VHS recorder that you'd film a birthday party on and does a movie, that is really
difficult. That's some good shit. That's some good shit, pal.
I can't wait. I have so many notes about these movies.
There's such things, though, I would say, as SOV classics. And there's movies like these that we're taking a look at tonight. So both of these were later 80s SOV slasher movies. One of which we had no idea what in the fuck it really even was until a week ago. And I was like, fuck it, let's just do that. I mean, it looks like it would be at least somewhat entertaining because we know who this guy is.
Yeah.
So,
hey, speaking of which, we got a super chat already. You want to explain this to a bunch of people that were going on about this shit?
Yeah, man. It was weird. It was a weird situation. And Michael, we appreciate the super chat. Nice to see Uncle Bill's internet working again. It was some sort of issue with StreamYard, I think, because if you go back to the archive stream that everything was cutting out on and freezing up on and everything, none of that is freezing up now. So I think it was a stream. We'll just chalk it up for StreamYard growing pains or something. I don't know. I've never seen that happen before, but yeah, I heard about those issues, and then I went back and looked at the video. It was the archive video did not freeze up or anything, so I have no idea what may have caused that. Hopefully, we don't come across any of that bullshit.
I didn't hear the same three or four people. Oh, good fucking internet. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it ain't his internet all the time, boys. Give him a break. Break him off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Tonight, though, from 1987, director Tim Boggs. We're going to take a throw down to Blood Lake, baby. And this is one that somebody was asking if it's out on Blu-ray. It is not, but the Agfa folks did a DVD of it a few years ago, which I've got back there that you can see. And it's already out of print. And
it needs to be out of print.
Going for 30, 40, 50 bucks online.
Yeah, it needs to never be back in print.
Blood Lake, baby. What else we got, Uncle Bill?
I don't have a copy of this because I wasn't going to spend $300 on the VHS tape of it or how much ever that was. But
why not, brother?
We got 1989's Heavy Metal Massacre with our good buddy Demon Dave, who's actually Bobby Young.
Bobby with an I.
Yep. So, I don't know what to say about that movie. Other than when we talk about it, there's going to be some classic shit.
Well, the bad thing is Heavy Metal Massacre is so obscure that they never even made a trailer for it. So there's no trailer for it. No. I did find a trailer for Blood Lake, which we'll play along with the review and stuff. But yeah, man, Heavy Metal Massacre. Both of these are on YouTube for anybody that wants to go and check these out.
Nubbins has got on here that Demon Dave is going to make a rant out of this. I don't think so, because I actually have some pretty hot takes about Demon Dave on here. I'm going to share my opinion, and it may not be exactly what you think, really.
What does your shirt say, Uncle Bill?
My shirt?
Yeah.
It says the Palm Father. It's got a palm over here. Yeah.
Oh, God.
What, buddy?
That's when you know you fucking getting old.
Look. Look, let me tell you something. You like collecting cats.
I've got one cat that I've had for 13 years.
Multiple cats in the past. So you're like the crazy cat.
Have you ever seen me have a cat daddy shirt or anything?
No, but here's what I'll guarantee you. Here's what I will fucking 100% guarantee you, too. When nobody else is around, it's just you. You talk to that cat like a fucking 3-month-old infant. I guarantee you, like, oh, come over here. Let me wait you. Let me get you to scratch a little bit. You do all kinds of shit like that. You'll never admit it. But I know, motherfucker. I know what goes on.
So you probably lick on that fucking dog's ass. Come here. Come here, Princess Puffin. Your butt's a little dirty.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh, that ain't nice.
Oh, God. We do have a poll, though, for Shot on Video Week. Which is the better slasher film? Blood Lake or Heavy Metal Massacre?
But that's like saying which is better. Like being in a car accident or falling off a hill. Like,
that's like,
I don't know.
Voting who the nicest guy in prison is.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There needs to be another way to vote on those two movies. Like, which one, you know, which one did you actually sit through completely? Or, you know, which one was the least annoying?
I sat through both of these completely, but I can deal with a lot, Uncle Bill. I can deal with a lot.
You must have been in Vietnam or something if you can sit through that shit.
So I guess we could go ahead and get rolling here with Blood Lake from director Tim Boggs. And I did find out that this was shot in conjunction with their family vacation that year in 1987. So you were partially right earlier when you said that. Dude. Yeah, this is like watching a family vacation video because there's.
Yeah, we were
I'm wondering, was the dad the killer in it, maybe? Because he was like the only guy that looked kind of old in the whole movie.
See, we were talking right before this, and I was like, Blood Lake looks like what would happen if you just found your family vacation video from like 1987. And it turns out that's exactly what this is, because it reminded me of my birthday party when I was like 8 years old. The quality of the footage and everything is the same thing. It's the same exact thing. There's no attempt at like any kind of production value, like lighting. It's just like somebody's just got like one of those giant ass handheld VHS recorders and they're just shooting whatever's around them.
Mm-hmm. I will say this though, of the two movies, as far as the editing and just technical quality of the movie itself, Blood Lake is far superior to, I mean, I don't know what kind of editing equipment either of these people had, but at least it looked like it was like competently made.
Did it though?
of the two.
Yeah, because the Heavy Metal Massacre looks like it was made by, and it was by a goddamn maniac. Somebody just did.
It was made by Vince Neil Down Syndrome. Which is pretty much what Bobby Young looks like in this movie. Oh, but,
I'll never recover from that.
But anyway.
Oh.
We got to talk about Blood Lake first, boys. The plot of this, if there is a plot, it's very simple. A group of young teens and some preteens. There you see, little Danny or whatever the heck his name is. What was his name?
Little Tony. Yeah.
They're going on vacation, go to the lake and just party and drink and try to get him some pussy both, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they come across this weirdo at the lake with the survival knife. You remember when those were popular? I guess Rambo made them popular.
That's exactly what it looks like, yeah.
And, you know, he begins picking them apart. I mean, that's a condensed version of this. A lot of, I don't know, what do they do? When kids party in the 80s, evidently they played quarters, which I didn't even know what the fuck that was. There's like a 10-minute scene where they're playing quarters at the fucking kitchen table.
Yep.
And I got the gist of it, right? Shit, what the hell is that?
Yeah. What's funniest about that scene, too, is like that is the quickest, like going from we're going to start a party and within 5 minutes, everybody's fucked up and wants to go to bed. They ain't done anything.
Yeah, they smoke a lot of weed in this. Yeah. And you can obviously tell it's a group of friends, and the little Tony character, he does have the most memorable lines, but I think that that's just because there are no lines in this. Like, this is all pretty much improvised, I would imagine. And he just come up with some funny shit on the fly. Like, my favorite one from little Tony was, I got beer, a sex partner, I'm fine. And you got to keep in mind, this is like a 12, 13-year-old boy.
So the opening of this movie, though, I thought it was going to be killer because the opening is just like the killer, like walks up to this guy. He says something to him or he turns him around. He's got a knife or something. And the guy's like, I didn't even have anything to do with it. I just worked there. And he goes, good enough for me. And just stabs him, kills him.
That's fine.
Yeah. So I thought it was going to be awesome. And then from that point on, it's literally just footage of this like vacation. It shows them driving, getting to the spot, talking.
There's carrying food in.
Yeah, there's a 20-minute long jet ski, water ski scene. I shit you not, that's all it is. Like, just them water skiing. And then there's like that one scene you're talking about, it's like 10 minutes long where they're just sitting around like drinking and acting like they're partying or whatever. There's so many scenes in this where it's just, there's no editing. It's just long, drawn out.
Yeah, looking in the refrigerator, they show the refrigerator, what all's in it. Lots and lots of talking, of chit-chatting, yes, back and forth. And this was shot, I think it was in Oklahoma. So, you know, a lot of Southern accents going around in this movie too, which kind of gives it a little bit of character, in my opinion. Like, I don't mind that at all. But not a very exciting movie. Like, after the opening death scene in this, which is a simple scene, it's not, you don't really see anything, any gore or anything.
No,
but it's an additional probably, what, 45 minutes of nothing at all.
Yeah, just
like character development for these people, none of which I know any of their names, really, aside from Little Jimmy or Little Tony or whatever his name
Little
is.
Little Jimmy, yeah.
The band.
There's no nudity in this movie, and there's no like gore either. There's a couple of stabbing scenes, but they're not. They're
death
just
and
like,
blood, but not very much. Yeah. The editing was two VCRs. I think that's the next movie. But anyway, the music in this is actually pretty good. It's from a band named Voyager. It's kind of like a David Lee Roth like tribute band or something like that. It's the same sort of music. It was pretty good. I think it was one of those movies that they had made and promoted and everything for home video release. And I think it may have done pretty decent on home video simply because the cover,
yep,
which you guys can see right here, is pretty damn good, really, if you don't know anything much about it. Like, somebody see that in a video store, oh, that looks, that'd be a good time waster, right? Some sort of stupid slasher movie, right?
Yep.
So I think it did pretty well in the video stores. But yeah, it's just one of those movies that is not, there's not a lot that goes on in it, really. I think that technically for a SOV movie, it was well made. Of the two, it's the better of the, you know, as far as technically made. For entertainment purposes, I don't know. I mean, they're pretty close because there's not much entertaining shit going on in this. The little Tony character is kind of funny. It's a little bit different because, like, you don't see that in a movie, a little kid begging his brother to drink beer and shit like that. So that's kind of interesting, something different. But yeah, this is like a prime example of a slasher movie with no slashing really in it.
No.
I mean, of course, this is a no-budget movie. They shot this on vacation. It's their family vacation video for 1987, I guess. But yeah, they didn't have a whole lot of budget for gore effects or anything.
And like, let's talk about the killer for a second, because the killer in this movie, how to describe him? He looks like Billy Jack Haynes. Like, that's the best way I can describe him. And do you know what the motive was? Was there ever any like reason?
I think one of the teens' dads, it was their lake house they were going to stay, right? And the whole plot, the guy's motivation at the end is that girl's dad never paid the dude for the lake house. So
that's killer.
He just decided to kill them all violently.
And he is possibly the most generic. He's like as generic as the final exam killer, really. Like, there's nothing about this guy that like stands out at all. He's got like you said, a Rambo compass knife, and he just dressed like a shit kicker, and that's it. Like,
there's There's this one scene too where I think a couple of teens, of local teens, befriended the teens that come to the lake house, right?
Yeah.
And they spot him snooping around the house, like around the outside of the house in the daytime. And I think this was like the first, those were the first two that he actually killed or whatever. And they're just saying like the craziest shit to him. Hey, asshole, what are you doing over there? Yeah. We're going to whip your ass. You piece of shit. We're going to kill you. Just like the bad, bad act. Like you could tell they were just doing this. And hey, having fun with it. Fuck it. Like they evidently were overachievers when it comes to this. Because this movie got a DVD re-release 30 years after the fact. That come out 35, 40 years after the fact. So, I'll hand it to them. I mean, they, for a vacation video, it's essentially what this is. This family going on a vacation trip to the lake.
Yeah, it's
they
weird.
They made it work.
You could do that, I guess, in the 80s, right? You could just like take what essentially looks like, you know, VHS camcorder shit from a vacation and put a killer cover on it and turn it into a movie and make some money, like regional slashers like this. But like, problem is with this movie is there was way too much filler. Like they had scenes, people just driving cars or playing cards or like I said, skiing or talking. And that was the bulk of the whole movie. And that's really boring, man. Like nobody wants to see just a bunch of people you don't have any fucking clue who they are just talking about random shit for 20 minutes on end. And that's what mostly this is. And then at the very end, for maybe the last like 10 or 15 minutes, there's actual like slasher kind of shit that happens.
The look of the killer wasn't too bad in this. They just didn't, I don't think that they really did enough with it.
Some fucking guy though. He could be like anybody.
He did have like the derby hat and the knife, and he was like a burly guy and everything. They didn't really, to me, he just come across as like a goofy, like they didn't give him hardly anything, right? And then there was some sort of supernatural element at the end of it that they just completely threw out there.
What was that ending, by the way?
I have no idea.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
They drained the lake or something, maybe.
Yep.
And they went back, and I was like, what is that supposed to mean? He's like looking around. They drained their water, boy.
So the score is mostly heavy metal. And to be fair, the score of this movie, did you say Voyager did it?
Voyager.
Okay. So the score of this movie is like 1,000 times better than the movie called Heavy Metal Massacre, which you would think would have like amazing heavy metal music in it. But it does not, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we'll talk about that band too. Yeah. But this one, Agfa, did the DVD release of this probably about 3 or 4 years ago or whatever it was, and remastered it from the original cassette tape, however they did that. And of the two, I mean, like I said, technically, this one was the better of the two. It was better, well made and everything, but I mean, that's really not saying a whole lot. But at the same time, you know, I thought the remaster may have helped it a little bit. And I'm not going to say it was a good time waster. It was interesting. I'm glad that I finally watched it because I'd been holding off for a while. Let's look at the tagline on this thing.
But I can't imagine.
It's got a quote from Little Tony. It says, "You going to be a butthole this weekend, or are you going to let me drink?" That's one.
That might be the best thing in the whole movie.
But 82 minute movie though, with maybe what, a good 10 minutes of slashing in that. Maybe, I don't even know.
Now, I was just looking on here just to see, because I'm like, there's no way this director ever did anything else. Oddly enough, he was the, he did sound work after this pretty much, it looks like, exclusively. Like, he was never really a director after this, but he did, like, on Breaking Bad, he was the sound supervisor.
Oh, wow.
He was the supervisor on, like, Fargo, the TV series, a bunch of, like, pretty big TV shows he did sound work on. So, I mean, it seemed like it turned out pretty well for him.
Well, that's surprising. I would have never thought that.
Yeah, I didn't either, but, yeah.
Interesting. But, yeah, of the two, I mean, what else could you say? Like I said, the editing and all that was probably the better of the two.
Fuck, man, I don't know. Like, the editing on both these is almost non-existent. But, I mean, in terms of, like, something that makes sense, this is, like, it makes more sense than Heavy Metal Massacre. Like, the way Heavy Metal Massacre is edited is almost like you said, I'm not going to repeat it, but, like, it just doesn't have any flow to it whatsoever. This one is actually, like, it moves along, but it moves along really slowly and with, like, long-ass scenes that make you just not want to watch it. Yeah, it feels like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, exactly. 82 minutes, it does feel like 2.5 hours.
But to be fair, I liked Heavy Metal Massacre better just because it was so goddamn crazy that at least it had that going for it.
Well, speaking of the poll, though, and we'll get into the other movie here.
Yeah.
Which is the best slasher film of the two? Oh, Blood God. Lake is ahead 74% to Heavy Metal Massacre's 26%.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the more traditional slasher, I'll say that.
So, I guess that brings us to, Heavy Metal Massacre, which I really didn't know what in the hell this was until we did that show with Christian, and we were looking on.
We stumbled upon Genius.
Yeah, because he was selling VHS copies of this for $300 on the Dark Force Entertainment page, and man, David DeFalco, Demon Dave, Bobby Young in this movie, he has went through transformation after transformation, mm-hmm. different, like, characters that he's created.
He's like fucking gimmicks. Bruce Beefcake, son. He's
yeah, different some gimmicks.
Yeah.
And this is one of the early ones, too, where he was trying to sell autographed posters of himself as Bobby Young in this movie. Like, there's shit that you can find online where you can order a signed Bobby Young poster for $5.
For $5? I might get one of those, actually. That'd be killer.
Well, no, this was back in the day when this movie came out. Yeah.
I wonder if I can get one today.
So, it's DeFalco's alter ego, we'll just say that.
So, yeah, we had no idea. I didn't know this movie existed, really, nor did I have any clue that it was David DeFalco that was in this movie, Demon Dave.
We thought it was a girl.
At first, exactly. But, like, this is his 80s attempt at a slasher film, and he is dressed up like he's in fucking Poison. And, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, in my opinion. So, if I was to try to give you a plot synopsis of this film, I would just say it was like he was trying to make a heavy metal glam version of Maniac. That's what it like reminded me of.
As far as the concept, yeah, pretty much, but it didn't.
No, because he just didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Clearly, like, when you watch this, you're like, this guy. Because, to give you an idea what this movie's like, the first, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, the first 10 or 15 minutes is him, as Bobby Young, leaning up against a brick wall, just posing. Staring away and then staring towards the camera. And then, yeah, and some horrible metal music playing. I don't know what the fuck.
Well, it's the Heavy Metal Massacre song from the Electric Afterburner Band.
Sure. It sounds like something. I could just pick up a guitar right now and just, like, bang out a bunch of chords and shit, and that would be what it sounded like.
Yeah, it sounds like Dave Mustaine on Muscle Relaxers.
Yeah, something just awful, man. Just So it sounds like they were saying it's like he just fell down a flight of stairs while his guitar was plugged in.
So, like, yeah, the song itself is like 6 minutes long, the Heavy Metal Massacre song. And then there's another beginning at the, you know, before the song, they play some other fucking song. And the movie can't figure out who made it. Was it made by David DeFalco or was it made by Bobby Young? Because it says both.
He just wanted to make sure that he got like both names in there. Another thing I want to bring up right off the bat too that killed me, man, because I was like trying to figure out why somebody would do this, but apparently this must have been a thing at that time. There were so many, like, I don't know what you call that, like effects, tricks, like fading in and out sequences of like a skull.
Dude.
And then like just so much bullshit that like it looked like somebody could do that kind of stuff, you know, like ending it, like somebody said, like at a mall or something.
You know what it reminded me of? And it took me a minute because I had to sit and think, what does this remind me of?
Yeah.
Do you remember it was either, it may have been Smoky Mountain Wrestling or it could have been the NWA when they would do Rock and Roll Express, like music videos. Yep.
That's exactly and they would what use it is.
That shitty, like, I don't even know what type of effect it is. And just the way that it was edited and everything. So, yeah, that's exactly what it reminded me of. And, man, this is another one of those movies that's like 85 minutes or no longer than 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. They play the entire song like at least 5 or 6 times when you're playing this. And, I mean, the plot of it, if they're... He's at a fucking nightclub picking up hooas. They call them hooas up there in Boston.
Yeah.
Or Providence, Rhode Island, or near Garrett. Which this movie, up in that area, according to Garrett, sort of a big deal. People still talk about this movie, right? Because it was made up in Boston.
Yeah.
It's wicked scary.
Yeah, so you're right. Like he's just, there's not really a plot. It's just...
Everybody just, in this movie sounds like Seth MacFarlane, too.
It's just him picking up women and then at these bars. But the weird thing is, like, it would be one thing if he actually, like, if there was a scene involved and he actually walked up and they had some sort of conversation. But most of the time, it's just him just, like, putting his arm up against a brick wall and, like, looking around for 5 minutes, and then he just like goes up to a woman and he's like, come on, and then they just leave with him, which I guarantee that never happened in his life, but like
probably not. No,
also he gets him back to this apartment, and let's talk about this fucking apartment for a minute, because he shows you that apartment
in detail,
so much detail that's unnecessary. So much detail, man. He ends that apartment for 10 minutes. And I'm like, what is going on? And just every corner of this apartment, I guess just to get footage, and he just doesn't know how to edit it or so. I don't know. But then he chains them up, chains the woman up. And in the first scene,
it's for sure his real apartment. I guarantee you.
100%. And then he just hits like the first one with a sledgehammer. And it's the funniest shit I've ever seen. Cause it's not, I mean, he just hits her in the stomach and she sells it like, you know, fucking Macho Man or something. And then like it just dissolves. It does that dissolve thing that filter dissolve that takes forever onto a skull. And then that dissolves. It's mind boggling.
Yeah. You could really like, it probably could scare the shit out of you was hiring hell on something.
Yeah. But if you were on like ass or something, man, this would be terrifying to watch.
There's this series of scenes too where like there's this guy that reminds me of Rob Gronkowski who is like making fun of Bobby Young and calling him like, oh, you're gonna go with this pussy here, whatever, at you fucking hooah, all right? And this new girl that he's taking home, and she gets drugs, and this scene goes on for fucking ever.
the coke scene
where like she's disoriented and is like looking around forever, man. It seems like it goes on for 10 minutes at least.
I'm going to tell you the truth, though. In the scene where he's buying the coke, like, I have a feeling that he's done that before, like, probably multiple times.
But yeah, I think a full song plays while this girl is just disoriented, and it sounds like it's the chorus is saying, okay, Carol, or something like that. Okay, Carol! And the funniest thing is I was watching this at work, man. Like, I was like, oh, fuck, I'll just watch this. It was kind of a slow day that day. And she's disoriented, and she's walking around his apartment and stumbles across the room that has all of the other, like, dead girls in it that he's killed, right? And she instantly vomits.
Yeah. Didn't she, like, throw up on one of them, too?
I think so.
Just, like, right on one of the bodies.
And then runs in fear, you know. Because, you know, she doesn't realize that he's attacked many and killed many in Boston.
Can we talk a minute, too, about, like, there's a whole other subplot that doesn't go anywhere in this movie about two, like, detectives.
Oh, God.
That are, like, in, like, trying to figure out who's doing this shit, I guess, but like, it's the worst.
It's awful. And the medical examiner guy, that was like the one clip that I was wanting to kind of clip, but I didn't get the chance to. Because, the guy had, oh my God. Like, he was like an elderly Ray Romano, is what he sounded like.
Yep. So there's like, there's good cop or bad cop, I guess, and like, That doesn't go anywhere. Like, they never even, like, catch him. They never find out anything. They just, like, are kind of wandering around, talking to each other in what is definitely not a police department. And then they shake down one guy and ask him a bunch of questions, and then that's it. It doesn't go anywhere.
Are they going to sell some used pallets with these farmer cards? Yeah, he ties these hoos up.
Get your cards.
To wooden pallets. They'll never get away. We're tied to a pallet.
From a
got it at Walmart.
You know what, though? Honest to God, this is one film that I would love to have a commentary track on. I would love... Why the hell doesn't he do a commentary track explaining what the fuck went on in this film? Like, that to me would be worth it.
What I'm wondering is those, like, because somebody did a DVD of this, I think, or maybe a Blu-ray of this. How come he is not releasing it? Like, I mean, it's obviously his movie.
I didn't know anybody did one, to be honest.
I think somebody did. Somebody in the chat let me know, like, who did it, because, like, it has a different artwork and stuff. But this is fucking, like, this is terrible. It's like awful in so many ways, but at the same time, it's like a train wreck. And like, he is Dave DeFalco is so full of his own shit. Like, he's walking around. You can tell that he thinks he's like the biggest badass of all time in this. And he looks so fucking ridiculous in this movie.
He does. And he probably weighs like a buck and a quarter, and he's trying to act like the biggest badass ever, and it's like, it's not working.
Yeah, but 1984 Vince Neil hairdo, and like, tiny little fella. It's got leather shit on, and he's got like a cut-off shirt. Yeah.
This is one of those movies where I like it because I won't say I like it. Like's too big of a word, but like, I found it amusing in a lot of different spots because you can tell he genuinely was just doing this. This was not a parody or a farce or him like trying to like do anything like actually funny. It just comes off like crazy, but it's him being serious, like seriously trying to be like a badass in some of these scenes and the way he films them. And it comes off like just like he's like the craziest dude ever. And that's why it kind of works for me. Other than that, there's so many dissolves in and out and like, you know, filter scenes that go on for 5-10 minutes that it's really almost impossible to watch.
In Heavy Metal Massacre Part 2, he kills some cocksucker named Vlado.
He needs to make another one of these now. It'd be so awesome.
That'd bring that character back.
Yeah.
As far as death scenes in this, the only thing that there's a death scene with a chainsaw that's kind of fun. He has like this little tiny fucking chainsaw though, because he's tiny, right? He probably couldn't lift the big chainsaw back then. He was a little pussy.
That's why he must have started working out. Like people giving him shit about this movie.
Like they called me a little pussy in this movie, right? Like, so I got me some steroids.
This did get me started thinking though. How old is he? Because if he was like 20 at this point, and he had to be at least 20, right?
Right.
In his early 20s, probably in 1988 or whenever, like right around the time this was made. How the fuck old is he?
He's got to be in his 60s, I would think, right?
He's got to be close to it. I mean, to be fair, he doesn't look like he's in his 60s, but he's had some work done.
Well, he's got yarn for hair now, so you can't really...
Yeah, he looks like your grandma's fucking crochet bag, but like, whatever. So after you get through 77 fade outs of skulls and plastic owls, then you get treated to some but like ridiculously generic death scenes with fake blood that looks like fucking Kool-Aid, which I think that might be actually what it is. The only one thing I did notice from this, I don't know if you noticed it, but there's a guy. Like one of the actors in the film is wearing a necklace that's like, it's the Dark Force Entertainment logo. That fucking necklace.
Oh, really?
And I was like looking at it, and I was like, I've seen that somewhere. Where in the hell have I seen that? And it's like, that's the fucking.
Isn't that like kind of like a, from like the Third Reich or something like that?
Oh, hell, I don't know.
I think it is. Originally, I think it's what it was.
But anyway, there's a dude wearing that necklace in this movie.
This is so laughably bad. And like we were talking about in the beginning, like this movie is essentially a long, long, long music video. Because music is played throughout pretty much the entire thing. Like from this fucking electric afterbirth band is what they should have been called. It's a train wreck though. Like I was saying, like this is so bad and like so cringe, especially if you know Demon Dave and the way that he acts now and stuff. Like it's gold, really. I mean, the fact that people pay $300. For this videotape?
Well, how many people paid that, though? Two?
People have paid it.
There's like two people out there that need to be smacked in the fucking face. Like, somewhere they just need to be killed. I don't know what to say about this movie, man. It's like I said, it looks like an insane person made it. Like, either somebody heavily on LSD or somebody just insane made this movie. Because... it's not really a movie. In the most basic of sense, it's not a movie. It has no real plot. It has no beginning. It doesn't have an end, really. The end of this movie, and I shit you not, is a 10-minute long scene of him standing against a fucking wall, and then he looks back like Michael Jackson in Thriller. Like he's supposed to be menacing or something. But I don't know.
I tried to find information on the Electric Afterburner band. I couldn't find anything. I was going to try to get this album.
Oh, that's 100% his band. He's in CD. That band somehow. I don't know how, but
he's playing the tambourine, motherfucker.
Got a fucking harpsichord over here.
Come on over, bitch. I got axes and skulls and shit. And some cocaine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got a little cocaine. I'm a coke guy.
This movie got 2.2 out of 10 on IMDb, Uncle. But you think that was fair?
Yeah, that's about right where it needs to be.
Or was that a little bit too high?
It might be too high. It's, yeah. I think if you combine both these movies, it got like a 5.2. If you combine the scores on IMDb of both these movies.
Heavy Metal Massacre, though, directors were... And this is the confusing part, right? I guess, is Stephen DeFalco and David DeFalco the same fucking guy?
Sure. Who the fuck? Who knows?
I don't know either. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty much a little known movie that is more well known up in the Northeast area. I think that they shot the movie illegally at this nightclub called The Dungeon, and evidently that was like kind of a well known nightclub according to IMDb. And after they found out that they had shot a movie there, because I don't think it was open. I think it was already like kind of closed and everything. They decided to, because you remember it had like spray paint and stuff all over it and
yeah,
all this shit. So the owners had it tore down. So people,
come think of it though, there's a scene in this where he's talking to, like, I don't remember if somebody's talking to a cop or something, and there's like a swastika in the fucking background for like 10 minutes.
I think that was in his apartment.
God damn. Yeah. That's yeah. not a good, that's not a good look.
But yeah, looking at David DeFalco's filmography too, it's kind of interesting. He's been a producer, actor, writer, director. He also did, do you remember this movie? This was his too. The Backlot Murders from 2002.
That was his movie?
That was his movie.
You're kidding.
With Priscilla Barnes, Corey Haim, Charles yeah. Fleischer. Yeah.
I actually do remember that. Yeah.
And he did Chaos, which we've talked about. It's like a loose adaptation of Last House on the Left. And he also did Wrong Side of Town. It was Dave Bautista's very first acting role.
Oh, man.
And Rob Van Dam was in it as well. And that was the last movie that he ever directed from 2010.
He needs to get back into it. It's clear he's got a real talent for it, man. Okay, here's what I wanted to say, though, in all sincerity about him. I don't know anything about his background or anything like that, about his beliefs, and I don't really care to know him. But, like, you got to give him this, man. He was there ground level during the metal scene. He was dressed up like he was in fucking Motley Crue. He clearly, like, had a love for that scene. He was like, I mean, for all the other stuff about him, I feel like that he was really there and into that. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was part of all that. You got to give him credit, you know, in terms of like that too.
Evidently, Bobby Young was kind of his alter ego when he got into acting.
Yeah.
So, movies like after Heavy Metal Massacre, he was in Young Blood, Fresh Meat, The Femme Alien, The Exotic House of Wax, Lolita 2000, Gangland, yeah, a bunch of other random shit. What a weird filmography this dude has.
What a weird dude. I mean, honestly.
He's a weird guy. Anyway, that is Heavy Metal Massacre. Do you want to go back and see where we're at on the poll? Because we got about 100 people in here, and I'm only seeing about 60 people voted, 57 votes. They're still voting Blood Lake as the winner with 68%, Heavy Metal Massacre at 32%. What do you think of that?
I mean, yeah, it's like I said, like, if you're talking about, like, a traditional, even, like, a traditional shot on video slasher, like, Blood Lake is definitely that. But I just, something about, like, certain scenes in this movie are so funny to me that it gave me some form of entertainment. To whereas the other one, I was just like, what in the fuck? It was like watching somebody's vacation or something.
Yeah, I mean, shot on video is not really our thing. I mean, Cannibal Campout, Wood Chipper Massacre, Video Violence and stuff like that, I like those.
What was
but
the
those
other
are the all-time classic ones.
Yeah, there was another one too that was really good. Ghoul School or something like that.
Gonna go to ghoul school.
Learn about the ghoul rules.
But Blood Lake and Heavy Metal Massacre, I mean, those are easily one-time watches. Although, if they did the Blu-ray or the 4K remaster of Heavy Metal Massacre, I may consider it one day.
Yeah.
Gotta have a commentary with it, though.
Let me be really clear. Like, the only way I'd ever watch either one of these movies again, ever, would be is if there was some sort of documentary or, like, featurette or commentary where somebody explained what in the hell was going on in either one of these movies.
Yeah. I would love to hear Demon Dave do a commentary over Heavy Metal Massacre, just because you know that he's going to take it 100% serious. Yep. He goes, oh, look at the background and it's fucking awesome.
What I did here was I had a fucking VHS player and I fucking took another one and then I dissolved it.
You see that hooah over there? That hooah over there was at the strip club. That's where I saw that hooah.
Yeah, that was Katie. Katie from the old strip club, Titty Bar.
Katie the car caulker. The hooah.
I enjoy that old fucking hooah.
She likes hawking up the cocks.
She liked it. Oh.
So, all right. So next week, we're going to be back on Sunday with another edition of the Cruel Summer Slashback. So I guess we'll go ahead and talk about it. We were trying to do themes, right? And Uncle Bill, it was your idea to do rock and roll slasher movies, right? If these ones here weren't rock and roll enough, these next ones are going to get you pussy all warm and moist.
Yeah, that's what's like gonna happen. So I'm just trying to figure out like what's like a topic that we haven't done yet, a subgenre of a subgenre really, and like we haven't done like rock and roll metal style, except for Heavy Metal Massacre just happened to come along because it was shot on video. It's not really like in that style.
Right. I mean, they still had like the 80s rock music and stuff in it, but yeah. These are more infused with that, you know, rock and roll. So, one that, we're going to be taking a look at that we've seen before, but I don't think we've ever done a professional review of it.
Have we not covered this one?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think we've ever reviewed it, on a show at least. And this is one that's got like a sketchy past kind of, because it did kind of get an official re-release, but it was really more or less just a high priced bootleg edition. It's a film from the Sebastians. And give me blood, give me Rocktober blood. And then the other one I've never seen, Uncle Bill. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, it's the one that recently came out from Vinegar Syndrome called Blood Tracks. And I mean, I don't know how you'll feel about it. I've seen it because I bought that release. I'll reserve like what I'm going to say for after we review it, but. Yeah, I mean, I got that and Iced at the same time, and they're both very similar kinds of movies, so we'll see what you think.
Blood Tracks, going to Blood Tracks. I think you see Bobby Young down there in the Blood Tracks poster.
Yeah, there he is. Bottom.
Heck yeah. That'll be a fun show, though, man. I know a lot of people like Rocktober Blood. Didn't Terrorvision kind of announce that like a couple of years ago, and it never came
out? They did, and nothing ever happened with it, yeah. That's another one where nothing happened. It might happen, though, because, I mean, shit, they announced Gatorbait like a year ago, and they finally were supposedly working on that.
So, pretty sure Rocktober Blood is on YouTube. You can probably see Blood Tracks on Tubi if you want to check those out. And coming up, let's see, tomorrow night we are going to be covering SummerSlam. Both nights, because, man, it gets redundant. Like, I'm fine doing WrestleMania reviews for two nights, but no, not like, come on. Most of this shit tonight was fucking commercials. So, fuck it. We can talk about both nights on one show, and that's what we're going to do with the WrestleManiacs. And also, we got some reviews coming up. Lots of cool stuff. box sets. We're going to talk. I think we're going to be talking about Cliff Twemlow. You're a big fan of his stuff.
Cliff Twemlow.
Let me tell you something, Clifford. Clifford G. Twemlow.
We're going to meet one time or another, baby. When we do Cliff Twemlow, there's going to be bad blood.
Bad flood of blood, Clifford. The mayor does say that Blood Tracks was on YouTube when Vinegar Syndrome announced it, so you may be lucky.
Yep.
Fucking.
Or unlucky.
Kathy Matea. Or no, who's that?
Kathy Matea.
Was it Kathy? With a Kathy Matea with a Holly Dunn, baby, who did that song. Nah, you got lucky. Yeah. No, it's Mary Chapin Carpenter. That's it.
There you go. You're just bringing out all the 90s female country superstars.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. So what else we got coming up, Uncle Bill, before we head out?
Well, fuck. I don't know. What is coming up? Oh, we got Felster coming up. He's going to be doing his big Nightmare on Elm Street stream ranking with us. So, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, Felster on Thursday night. This coming Thursday at 10 p.m., we are going to try to capture lightning in a bottle again. Can we get the magic like we had back for that Friday the 13th ranking? We'll see. But, yeah, we don't really talk about the Nightmare on Elm Street movies very much on here because I think ultimately, like, you and I are not huge fans of the franchise like a lot of other people, or at least it seems that way to me. Like, we don't really talk about them. But it'll be cool to see how Felter ranks them. I'm not going to get as defensive about.
No, I don't care at all about these.
Any of these, just because, like, maybe the first four. I like the first four. And then after that, they can just fucking. They could burn the master tapes on them. I really probably wouldn't care.
Burn the master tapes. Damn.
Yeah, I'd probably never watch them again. The first four are the only ones, but. We're going to see the uncut version of part five. Can you imagine how shitty that's going to be?
I can't wait, honestly. I was saying this the other night, too. I think I was saying this last night. Like, I don't have any interest in watching, like, part one or part three or anything over again. Because I've seen those movies so many fucking times that I just have zero interest in. But, like, part four, seeing that and what that looks like, and maybe, like, part five and part, well, six is a little bit less so. But you know what I mean? Like, to see the ones that I rarely ever watched new and improved, like, that's probably what I'll end up doing first. I don't give a fuck about watching one, two, or three again.
Here's the thing about Freddy's Dead. This is kind of an analogy I've got. Freddy's Dead on the outside, it's like you got a big chicken breast that looks really good on the outside. It looks real crispy, right?
Uh-huh.
And all this. And you take a knife and you cut it open and you see that it's not cooked all the way, right? It's not. That's Freddy's Dead. They had something there. It looked like it should have been better than it was. The Goo Goo Dolls song in it was pretty cool. I still think it's a pretty good song. The look of the movie was good, but yeah, nothing much else was good about it.
Freddy's Dead is an anomaly to me because it's represents when they got way too fucking silly. Like, they just took that Freddy shtick stuff way too far, man. And, like, it got to the point of just being laughably bad. And it kind of, like, hurt the series.
Interesting that Robert says this because I think the second one is one of the very best of the whole franchise.
It's definitely, like, to me, the more serious, it might be more serious than the first one in terms of, like, he plays that character completely dead serious in that movie.
Freddy's Dead had Roseanne in it.
Yep. That's one of the worst name? Tom Arnold. That's one of the worst cameos ever, too.
And that one also had, wasn't that the one where Freddy dressed up as the Wicked Witch or whatever?
Yes, like, oh, yes. That's like the first scene in the movie I really remember because it's so bad.
Awful. Here's my thing. People might be like, what the hell? Because they raised the price on the standard 4K to like 140 now or whatever it is. I don't know if I'll even buy it. Like, I haven't pre-ordered it. like it may be one of those deals where I'll wait on the price to go down because
it'll go down.
The extras on it don't sound like much. It don't sound like they've done anything new as far as commentaries or anything because they would have mentioned that, you would think, right?
Well, they had to do something new on some of that shit because, like, you had Jack Shoulder talking about, like, that he had recorded stuff. You remember that when it came out? And, like, a couple other people had said they recorded stuff, too. So, I don't know. There's something.
We'll see. But I'm not really, like... Yeah, I'm thinking that it's Warner Brothers, so they'll definitely have it discounted at some point. So, and I'm not in any huge hurry to watch any of those movies. I've got the first movie in 4K. So anyway, but that is it, guys. We appreciate everybody tuning in. And remember, there's links for the past shows. We're doing podcast versions of these shows too. So technically, I think we're up to, this makes 32 slasher movies that we have reviewed in the last year or so. So you can go back and check the ones out that you missed. And we will be back next week. We're taking a look at some, again, rock and roll slasher movies. Rocktober Blood, baby. And Blood Tracks. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So appreciate everybody. Yeah.
There's really a lot more rock and roll slasher films than I thought there was. When I was looking at it, it's like there's a lot of those movies.
Some of them we've talked about, though, like Black Roses, we've talked about Rock and Roll Nightmare.
Yeah.
We have discussed
Hard Rock Zombies. That's more of a zombie film, though, I guess. But yeah, you get the idea. There's a lot of metal and horror just seemed to be a big thing in the late 80s.
Yeah, Trick or Treat, we just reviewed it not too long ago. It's considered kind of a heavy metal slasher movie. But anyway, we appreciate you guys. Definitely like, thumbs up, finger fuck that like button, do what you do. And we will catch you guys next time over at deadbed.com. I want all these people to click everything they're supposed to click.
You haven't been liking them, you haven't been subscribing to them, you haven't clicked the bell or notification or anything like that.
Folks, why don't you click the like button?
Do you hate us? Do you not want to see us succeed?
Why don't you click the heart button?
Is this something that you have against our particular show?
Why don't you subscribe?
You should click on one of them buttons right now if you want us to continue to breathe greatness into your life.
There's all kinds of wonderful shirts over at shop.deadpits.com. Simply the best horror shirts on TeePublic. There are others, but they all suck. You can get some Dead Pit Radio shirts. You can get Last South on the left, The Hills Have Eyes, Texas Chainsaw. Oh, wait, you can't say Texas Chainsaw. All kinds of shirts, folks. You're going to love them. shop.deadpit.com.
Special thanks goes out to our supporters on Patreon. You know what kind of stuff you can get on Patreon, Uncle Bill, starting at only $1 a month?
What's that?
Access to every Dead Pit show since 2005. We got almost 200 fan commentaries that we've done over the decades.
Here's what other fucking Patreons do. They're like, hey, give us money, and then we'll let you see a video early that we're going to release like a fucking week from now, and then that's all we're going to give you. Meanwhile, we have a literal jukebox full of songs, thousands of reviews. I don't even know how many shows are up on that now that we've done over the years.
Hundreds of thousands.
You need to figure this out now and subscribe to us on Patreon and YouTube and Instagram. Help us to 1 million. The road to 1 million subscribers starts today.
So, Dead Pit on Patreon.com. Join today.